What's it like to be an economist? Assuming you're not one already, you may never have asked yourself that question. But in the case of Angus Deaton, it's a life filled with insights. Angus is a Scottish-born, Nobel Prize-winning economist and co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism. He tells his own story and that of his adopted country in the new book, Economics in America, An Immigrant Economist Explores the Land of Inequality. Here he is to share some of his key insights.
My name is Angus Deaton. I'm an economist. I was born in Edinburgh in Scotland, just at the end of World War II. I came to America in 1983, and I've been at Princeton ever since. My book is my story, but also the story of other economists and of economics itself over the last 40 years. I'm going to share five key insights with you. One, why did I write a book that is part memoir, part stories, part economics, and part politics? I wanted to tell the story of the last 40 years of economics in America, not by writing about economics directly, but by telling stories about economists and their adventures in research and in policy, including my own story. Economics is often boring or obscure, but many economists are not. I wanted to write a book that would be fun to read. I was born in Scotland and moved from Britain to the United States in 1983. Attracted by a high salary and by the many great economists in America. I tell the story of what I found here. I write about the economists that I met along the way, about their work, and how their work affected policy and politics. I tell some good stories, sometimes funny, sometimes not. There's much wrong with economics today, and the book becomes darker as it goes, just as America itself has become darker. While I am critical of some of contemporary economics, there is also affection. And one non-economist surprised me by saying that the book is a love letter to my profession. Insight 2, disasters and triumphs. I write about an immigrant's worries about the New Jersey mob and about how I shot a diner and a Burger King. How I was screamed at by a busy cop from whom I'd asked directions, and how in my confusion I mailed an important package in a trash bin. I felt lost when one of my new colleagues approvingly quoted Proudhon's maxim that government is theft, though I sympathize a little more after living here for four decades. How a nightmare in the pensions office turned into a love fest. How on the day I became a citizen, after 30 years in the country, I was asked if I had recently worked as a prostitute. How, in the Wild West of American healthcare, I, who did not know the difference between a pediatrician and a podiatrist, struggled to find a good surgeon to replace my hip. And about what it is like to go to Stockholm to receive a Nobel Prize and what the Nobels have done to economics, often bringing happiness but also jealousy, and even rewriting the history of ideas. One economist argued that the prize was one of the three worst things in the 20th century, along with the population explosion and what he called the infernal combustion engine. And he was one of the winners. Insight 3, economics at its best, uncovering exploitation. I tell a story from the 1980s of my then young colleagues at Princeton, David Card and Alan Krueger, looked at the evidence to see whether modest increases in the minimum wage would cost workers their jobs. They found no such evidence, contrary to what almost all economists then thought. I describe how they were abused and insulted by economists on the right, as well as lobbyists from the fast food industry. They were accused of abandoning science and told that water doesn't flow uphill, that their work was like cold fusion, and accused by a Nobel laureate of being camp-following whores. But eventually the theory caught up with the evidence. Exploitation of workers, it turns out, was not just a theoretical curiosity, but a real occurrence that is likely becoming increasingly important today. When employers are making money out of their employees by keeping their wages low, higher wages do not cost jobs, they just reduce employers' profits. That work and its subsequent history is a great example of evidence and theory coming together, not at once, but over time. It also brought back older ideas of inequality into economics about class, as in the conflict between capital and labor. David Card was awarded the Nobel Prize in 2021 for the work. Alan Krueger was not eligible because he committed suicide in 2019. Insight 4. Why is economics research so often controversial? The controversy surrounding economics is both good and bad. Good because it shows that people care about what we are doing. Bad because the politics can undermine the science. If no one ever paid attention, we would not be doing our jobs. Because people have different values and different interests, a new finding or even just new data will often be unwelcome to some, and there will be challenge and debate. One chapter in the book is called The Politics of Numbers. It is about the triumph or anger that meets new evidence, especially on hot-button topics like poverty, unemployment, inflation, or economic growth. It's bad when politics swamps the science or corrupts the evidence, so that progress is replaced by half-truths, lies, and by name-calling. And it is not only the politicians, but sometimes the profession itself. It is distressing when so many findings are predictable by the political leanings of the economists who find them. The best and most valuable economists are those who can change their minds with the evidence. Even so, topics like the measurement of poverty have become so politicized and so polarized that we may have lost the ability to say anything that is both useful and truthful. In this, economics is like other areas of science of policy importance, like public health, where polarization has become an increasing threat. Insight 5. Where economists sometimes went wrong. Economics has long focused on the idea of efficiency, too much so in my view, and many economists subscribe to Lionel Robbins' definition of economics as the allocation of scarce resources among competing ends. According to this, the main object of economics is to make sure the allocation is done well and that incomes are as large as possible. Markets are good at promoting efficiency. They do not need any centralized assistance, and they generate prices to guide allocation. The price system is certainly one of the great wonders of the world. Prices allocate things to the people who want them the most, at least in the sense of being willing to pay the most for them. Beyond that, there was an influential libertarian school, Milton Friedman was its most famous practitioner, that argued that markets were an essential component of freedom, that any attempt to interfere with markets, no matter how well-meaning, could only make things worse. Governments are always the problem, never the solution. Today, most but not all economists regard these views as extreme, though there are many politicians who make their bread and butter by endorsing these ideas. Even so, the economics profession accepted too much of the libertarian creed. This has had some very bad consequences, such as trusting financial markets to police themselves before the financial crisis, encouraging free movement of capital across national borders, or accepting, and in many cases celebrating, an all-volunteer military. Other approaches to economics, that we should think about things that people care about other than money, or that we need to go beyond individualism, were downplayed and neglected. I include myself among those who was a little too carried away. Mea culpa. This is Angus Deaton. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Angus. That was 5 big ideas from Economics in America, An Immigrant Economist Explores the Land of Inequality by Angus Deaton. You might also like our book bite for Free Market, The History of an Idea by Jacob Saul. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.